All right, so the Torah portion we're going to talk about this week is Lech Lecha. All right, they're reading that here, they're reading that in Israel, so you should feel right at home. Good. What we try to do each week is really just focus on a couple of themes in the Parsha. As I mentioned in my earlier class, I'm in Baltimore for a wedding next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday we'll pick up and go consecutively through December.
Drop a note to Joanna to say no class.
I will. Okay.
In the weekly sheet or the bulletin.
Sounds good. All right, so certainly the narrative of the Parsha of Lech Lecha is one that we are all very familiar. It's where Abraham Avinu first appears on the scene, and Hashem is asking him to leave his land, to go to Israel, and it really speaks about the beginning of the process of the formation of the Jewish people. Read about Abraham and Sarah, the way he deals with different challenges along the way. And I want specifically to first focus on the transition between Noach and Lech Lecha. Last week's Torah portion is called Noach. This week's is Lech Lecha. So one of the questions that's oftentimes raised is what distinguished Abraham from Noach? They both were individuals that certainly believed in one God. When we think about Abraham, he's best known for monotheism, right? The truth is that Noach also was a monotheist. So the question is, what is it about Abraham that enables him to merit being kind of the founder or leader of the Jewish people? So I have kind of an idea that I'm going to share with you, but just let's see what you guys think about that. Noach, by the way, does get a raw deal, but give me something positive about Noach and say why was Abraham
his
a little...
His behavior wasn't so great.
Whose?
Noah's.
Why do you say that?
Well, didn't he misbehave after the...
That's true.
Right,
he did.
He planted a vineyard instead of an Asia.
Correct.
They were in Asia.
Yeah, you were there Friday night.
I paid attention.
That's good. Right? Right.
He needed something after being bitten by the lion and having to deal with...
What, to make him forget about all his troubles?
I mean, a little bit, he didn't have good sleeping pills, or something, so he needed something to kind of...
To
quiet him down and
loosen him up a little bit. Okay.
Noah was Ish Tzaddik. He was righteous in his generation compared to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham spread the word, so to say. He was filled with loving kindness. He was looking out for other people.
Right.
As compared to Noah, he was still more self-contained, I guess, as opposed to spreading the word of
I think that's a good point. What Ted was referring to, something I spoke about Friday night, where it says both Noach and Abraham planted, it speaks about, but Noach chose to plant a vineyard, which is very much for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other place in the Torah where it speaks about Abraham planting is it says he planted what's called an eshel. An eshel, according to one opinion, is that he planted a tree to offer shade for guests, which is much more focused on other people. Or also, according to Rashi, he opened up an inn to be able to take care of travelers that were coming through. So you see that distinction made as well. Yeah.
But why couldn't you say that the purpose of the vineyard was to plant something that was kodesh, that we could, yayin is something kodesh.
That's not what he did. He got drunk.
He planted a vineyard. I know
but
drank
it says that he drank and he got drunk.
Immediately.
If it's there.
Abram really started from fresh. He left his home. He left everything behind. And he really started from fresh.
That's a good point, too. He didn't... Noah, kind of, again, like you said, was in one place. And Abraham really was, tested in a way where he had to leave his homeland, leave his family. So I'm going to develop for a few moments a theme with you that I think kind of emerges from the psukim, if you look carefully, and really focuses on what I would say is one of the major distinctions between Noach and Abraham, and I think also, which is where I want to move to, is hopefully one of the sources of inspiration for why we are called B'nai Abraham. We are not B'nai Noach. I mean, the world is B'nai Noach, children of Noach. There is a concept called the seven Noachide laws that the nations of the world are bound by. But we are B'nai Abraham. So in terms of, their distinction, they both are obviously considered really singular in their generation. Noah clearly was a man who stood out among everybody. Abram was a person who also stood out, and they also created their own covenants. Right after the flood, it says that there was a brit of a keshet. There was a covenant with the rainbow between God and the world. And with Abraham, there was the brit Abraham, that unique covenant. But I want to focus specifically on one language that is similar yet different that I think can open up an idea for us. So turn for a moment to the beginning of Parsha of Noach. Okay, if you look on page 30, or the first part of the Parsha of Noach. So there it says, Ela Toldo Noach, right? These are the generations of Noach. Noach ish tzadik, he was a righteous man. Tamim haya bedorotav, which means, right, he was tamim, he was perfect in his generation. Et Elokim italich Noach, he walked with Noach. This language of tamim haya bedorotav is a similar language that we see by Abraham, but with Abraham it's slightly different, and it's going to open up a point of understanding. So if you look, actually, hold your finger there. It also mentions regarding Abraham the notion of tzmimut, of being wholesome, of being perfect. Where does it mention that? It actually mentions that at the end of the Parsha, where we see, hold on, let me find it for you. Hold on. Oh yeah, page 72, chapter 17, verse 1. This is right before the Brit Milah, the circumcision. And Abraham was 99 years old. God appears to Abraham, and he says, I am God, hitalech lefanai, walk before me, veheye tamim, and be perfect. So, what are the differences between the description in chapter 17 regarding Abraham versus the description with Noah, which is in the beginning of in chapter 6? It talks about tzmimut in both cases, being perfect, and it also talks about walking as well.
Did you say that Zion Aleph?
No, I said Yud Zion Aleph, 17:1. What's the difference between the two descriptions, and what's going on here?
Well, Abram is being told to be coming, whereas Noah seems to be going spontaneously.
He's there.
He's there.
God says, you are tamim. It's interesting, though. Is it you are or you were? What is haya?
The
no, regarding Abraham, it's the heye, which is the future.
Right, it means be.
You will be.
So, well, I think I thought it was conditional, that if you walk with me,
you will be.
I will walk before me, veheye tamim, and then you will be perfect. That's
right.
You can be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Noach, it just says, it's just a description. So if the narrator is Hashem, it says, you know, this is the lineage of Noach. He was a tzaddik tamim.
Which one is higher?
That's a good question. Better. I'm not even getting into the qualification that he was tamim only because
in this case,
compared to his generation.
Right.
What? I want to add something about Noach. He's tzaddik tamim. There are two explanations.
Mm-hmm.
One is all the rest of the people were evil, so it was not a big deal to be a tzaddik in such a generation.
Right.
So this is one that Noah was not...
so righteous compared to all those crooks. He was pretty good.
This is one explanation.
Right.
The other explanation is that although the other generation, the other people, the neighborhood, the friends were evil, although this... He was Ishtamin, he was a tzaddik. So this makes him even higher.
Better. He was able to withstand those temptations.
So,
okay.
Yeah, these are the two explanations.
Mm-hmm.
Ish tzaddik tamim haya bedorotav.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Rashi quotes that. It's a very good idea. Any other thoughts before I kind of take this a little bit further?
Was there a choice point for Abram?
Well, at this point, by the way, in chapter 17, he's already demonstrated that he is committed because he has left his homeland. Mm-hmm. We're already after some of the tests where he's jumped into the Kivshana Aish, the furnace of fire. Mm-hmm. He's on the road. He's constantly moving. which you're actually alluding to something, which is kind of the direction that I want to go in here, and that is that a few things, and you pointed this out. The description regarding Abraham is about the future, Ve'yetamim, whereas the description regarding Noah is in the Avar. It's in the past tense. And if you look, actually, I want to draw your attention to chapter 6. Go back now. Go to chapter 6. Look at the Rashi. Et Elokim Italich Noach. It's on page 30. It's 5-6 lines down. Look at the way Rashi deals with this. It says Et Elokim Italich Noach. It's in the Rashi right here. There you go. Okay. So it says there that Noach walked with God. Uva Avraham hu omer. And regarding Avraham, it says, Hitalech lefanai, walk in front of me. So Rashi notices the distinction between walking with God and walking in front of God. And Rashi says, Noach hayat tzarich sa'ad l'tomcho. Noach needed a support to hold him up. Aval Avraham, but Avraham hayim mitchazek umithalech b'tzidko me'alav. But Avraham was mitchazek, strengthen and walk b'tzidko me'alav, almost like on his own.
Never mind.
He was already motivated.
I don't agree.
All right, well,
let's look at
it.
I think it's just the opposite.
I
agree with Rashi in this case.
Because it's just the opposite. But Avram, it says, first you walk with me, and then you become Tamim. And here he says, but Noach, he was Tamim Hayabatoratav. Pause. You know, there's like a colon there, a semicolon.
Right.
So first he was Tamim, and that's how he found God.
Who was?
Noach.
That's correct. But this is the point. He was Tamim. He walked with God. But what Rashi's saying is, Noach was a righteous man. He did what God told him to do. But Rashi's saying he didn't have the kind of self-motivation and strength to be able to walk in front of God. In front of God meaning that I have the kind of inner strength to say, you know what, I can let go, I can go ahead. And that's exactly that's the way Rashi's interpreting it here. What was that?
Knowing
that God was with him. And it's like kind of like with a child. Am I always holding the child's hand? Or am I kind of going out on my own? That's the point that Rashi's making over here. Now, what I think this speaks to a little bit, we can debate it, is one of the main ideas that is expressed. This is actually from a sefer. He's a Rav, actually, in Gush Etzion. Rav Yehuda Shaviv is his name. And he points out that the whole notion of Noach being Tamim is really kind of at the beginning of our introduction to Noach. He is who he is because of what he's done in the past. We're defining him. He's Tamim. He's righteous because of what he's done. What?
He's peaked already.
That's exactly the point. He's peaked. And then
he's
P-E-A-K. He's like there. He's peaked. He's there. And then, really, not that he doesn't really do after that what God tells him to do. Come on in. You guys made it. We're good. It is. I mean, we have lots of food for you, so, okay. He is basically, it says like he's peaked. And then, you obviously have, certainly he's the man who is there to help save the people during the flood, but you don't see his spiritual development in a way where he's constantly moving and spiritually growing. Unlike, for example, and this is the point with Abraham, you have somebody who is not content to kind of be celebrated for his past accomplishments, but rather he's a person who's constantly on the move spiritually. And that's why when it describes his tamimut, ve'ye tamim, you need to move forward. You need to constantly be striving for that sense of purity. And that's why the language, by the way, that's associated with Avraham is always a language of movement. We actually see in the Parsha, which is also, I think, extremely stark, the name of this Parsha is called Noach, right? Wouldn't it be great if this week's Torah portion was called Avraham? I mean, come on, it's not really fair. Noach's got a name of Parsha. But Avraham's Parsha is called Lech Lecha.
Because Lech Lecha is more important than the name.
Exactly.
moving forward.
Exactly. Because when you talk about what defines B'nai Avraham, what defines the destiny of the Jew, it's not about, again, this is one point, but I think this is the point that he's making in his essay here, about the past and kind of, you know, but about what kind of courage do you have to forge your own derech, not sometimes when you have kind of, you know, that support of God with you all the time, and you're moving forward. And Abram was a person who is constantly trying to forge God's presence in many different areas. The Rambam, which is a beautiful description of Abraham's emergence on the scene, says, you know, we know Abraham... Okay. Tell him I'll be there soon. I'm in the middle of a class. Just find out what time he's going to be. Can he be there in 10 minutes? In 10? Yeah, sorry. We have a mikvah specialist in from Brooklyn that I didn't know was going to be here right now. And he's waiting in there. But I want to, like, talk a little bit here.
Can I just ask a question? What is the timeline between Noah and Abraham?
Okay. My question is to you. It's right here. It's beautiful. There's a timeline here. By the way, they actually knew each other. We don't know if they knew each other, but they actually overlapped a little bit. Which I think is very cool. Noah died in the year 2006, and Abraham was born in the year 1948, which is actually one of the coolest statistics. He was born in the year 1948 from the year, you know, when Adam was created. So there was a bit of an overlap there. There's some midrashim, actually, that connect Noah to Abraham in terms of conversations that they had.
Isn't it natural, therefore, that when they talk about Abraham, who came after Noah, they would talk about him for the future because Noah was done.
Wait, say that one more time?
I say, isn't it natural that they would talk about Abraham for the future, for going on, if Noah was already done? That's past tense.
With Noah?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it, but it didn't have to be that way. In other words, Noah, and this is obviously one of the points here, that Noah was a righteous person, but he didn't have, and this is what I was pointing out before, the Rambam says that when Abram appeared on the scene, you know, it was a world that was really filled with idolatry. The name of God was a bad word. Listen to the description of Abraham as the Rambam describes. It's actually in the text itself. In Lech Lecha, look on page 56 for a moment. I mean, this speaks to Abraham being a mover. He was a dynamic spiritual figure. It says that Abraham traveled the land. Vayatek mishama harat, verse 8, chapter 12. Mikedem beit el, vayet alo beit el miyam va'ay mikedem, vayim v'shem mizbeach la'ashem, vayikra b'shem Hashem. He traveled the land of Israel. He invoked the name of God. Vayisa Avram haloch v'nasoa hanegba. He's constantly moving. And the Rambam says, vahaya mehalech v'korei u'mekabei tza'a me'ir l'ir. Your name was Ben-Ami? So what he was doing was, he was gathering people from city to city. He was really, before the evangelicals, right? He was pulling people together. He was proclaiming the name of God. He was bringing the light of God in a place where there was a lot of darkness. And he was not resting on his laurels. So that's the main point that's being emphasized. God understood, Vayetim, you were constantly moving. And Nechama Leibowitz has a beautiful thought. She says that that's one of the reasons why it says actually Lech Lecha twice in the narrative of Abraham. It says Lech Lecha at the very beginning of our encounter with Abraham, leave your land, and then the language that's used right before Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, is also Lech Lecha, because he tells him, leave, go, and bind your son, bring him on Mount Moriah. The Torah obviously is not coincidental here. The fact that God is choosing both words to define the very beginning of his journey and the end of his journey is speaking about the fact that this is really who Abraham is, that he's constantly on the move here. Yeah.
Right. There is an explanation that says chronologically,
yes,
Abraham decided to leave the place he was there to move on, to move around. Abraham decided first to move. After moving, after this, his decision, God says, Lech Lecha. So what is the explanation of Lech Lecha after Abraham decided already to move? The explanation is that Lech Lecha has nothing to do with places, with geographical
places. Ooh, deep, deep. Keep on going. I can amplify that one. Go ahead. Yeah, you're right.
This is not emphasized on the geographical place where Avraham, because Avraham was moving by his own decision. Lech Lecha means go out of yourself. Go out of your parents' house, parents' habits, and etc.
Yeah, so just to amplify what you're saying, because I think that's important, because the truth is this all fits from the sense of Avraham as a dynamic figure. Not only his willingness, again, it's not about a geographical move, is as much as it about a spiritual move. And Nechama Leibowitz also points out, the first Lech Lecha is, are you willing to abandon your past? And the second Lech Lecha by Akedat Yitzchak, the Binding of Isaac, is, are you willing to forsake your future? What are you willing to give up in order really to demonstrate your commitment to me? And the fact is that if you look for a moment at the first Lech Lecha, this relates to what you're saying. Look on page 54. Lech Lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladet chavet avicha, right? Which means leave your country, your birthplace, and the house of your father.
He left already.
It's backwards. It's backwards because the first place that you leave is the house of your father. You leave Ravona. Then you leave Stanford. Then you leave America. It's not you leave America, Stanford, you know, where you live. So the Mefarshim, the commentators point out that this must speak to a spiritual journey in that the values that are easiest to abandon are the values of your country. Then the values of your birthplace. Then the values of your home. And therefore, this journey that we're speaking about over here is not a geographic journey, but rather it's about his willingness to set his own path, and is he willing to kind of leave the value system that he grew up with, and the most difficult one is Mibet Avicha, is the house of his father. So what this speaks to is that Avraham is a figure who's constantly on the move spiritually, unlike Noach, who's etymologically, his name speaks to who he is. What does the word Noach mean? Noach means
comfort.
Menucha, comfort, rest. He's not moving at all in the same way.
So he didn't have a prayer.
Who, Noach?
He didn't have a prayer.
What are you saying? He was born that way?
He was born at rest. A body at rest stays at rest.
He still was righteous. But he did. He didn't have the...
He saved the world too.
What was that?
And in effect, he saved the world.
He did. I mean, he was the... Right.
He did the job.
He did the job. Yeah, go ahead. People still name their kids Noach, though, by the way.
He was taken, Avraham was taken with his father. He didn't leave on his own volition. I think, you know, because at the end of Noach it says that Vayikach Terach et Avraham beno, that he took him out. He didn't go on his own before Hashem said Lech Lecha.
Physically,
he was taken.
He left his home.
However,
but he was taken. He was taken as a member of his father's household.
Right, but he didn't make it to Israel until God said to him, Lech Lecha. What's fascinating too, this is another point that's also so clear. If you look at the Psukim, look back for a moment to page 52. Page 52, it's the end of Parshat Noach. It says there, right, Vayetzu itami Ur Kastim. This is Avraham and Terach, and everybody's leaving to go to Ur Kastim. Lalechet Arza Knan. They're ready to make Aliyah. They're ready to go to Israel. But what happened was, Vayavod Haran. They didn't make it all the way. They had the dream to go, or they were motivated to go. Like you said, they were on their way, but they ended up in Haran, and that's where they stayed. Unlike, the reason why this is significant is because it's in direct contrast to a pasuk, right here, look on page 56. Same language, but it finishes differently. Look at the chapter 12, verse 6. Same language. Vayetzu lalechet arza Kanaan. It almost seems like a new journey. They went out to go to Kanaan. Vayavo arza Kanaan. In other words, in the end of Parsha Noach, when they went out, in both cases, they had the aspirations to go, to make it to the land of Canaan. But it's only finally when Abraham has that mandate from God, when he actually really completes this journey, not only does he have plans on going to Canaan, but Vayavo Artzakan, he actually makes it to Canaan. This really could summarize in many ways kind of this point that we're saying before, that one of the hallmarks of the Jewish people has been a tenacity never to give up the dream of returning to the land of Israel. Many nations or many people, and we all, I think, sense this in some way, you know, we talk about nations or places as a homeland, but to be able to sustain that vision and that dream for thousands of years and still be able to get there and not get sidetracked, you know, families do, nations do, is an amazing thing. And that's really also what we recognize with Abraham, not only Vayetzu, but Vayavo, he also makes it to the land of Canaan. There's another point here also that I just want to emphasize for a moment. Because again, Abraham is about the Veheye Tamim, the future, Lech Lecha, Noach is Tamim Haya, he's about the past, is a point that Rabbi Shaviv makes at the end of his essay, which I think is a point that's larger than just what it means to be a Jew, but in general it says that Noach is chosen for his past accomplishments. Abraham, he says, is chosen for his potential, what's going to happen in the future. And that's, I think, something just to contemplate for a moment. When we identify the value of whether it's people or really think about that we're by our very nature dreamers, we look for possibilities. In other words, you think about that with your own children, you think about that when we encounter people. It's not always what did you do for me lately, but what are the possibilities of what you can achieve in the future. The whole concept, the Ramban, Nachmanides says about why God tests Abraham. That's one of the main philosophical questions. Abraham undergoes 10 tests, leaving Israel, you know, again with the idolatry, Akedah. I mean, God knows that he's going to be able to pass the test. This is not like a teacher giving somebody a test and determining whether or not he'll get an A or a C. God's omniscient. God knows. So the Ramban says that the reason why God gives Abraham these tests is in order to motivate Abraham to turn his potential into something which is actual. God may know, but it's only through the challenges that we have that we grow. And that's precisely why Abraham has all these nisyonot. And not to say, you know, it's only about what happened in the past, but about the possibilities for the future. I think that's an important point that's emphasized also. Questions on this idea, the distinction with Noach and Abraham? What does it mean to you in the year 2010?
I think that's what the Nobel Peace Committee was thinking last year when they gave Obama a prize.
Potential.
Potential.
That's right.
It certainly wasn't because of his accomplishments.
No, it was not.
Peace up until that point.
No, they slightly tried to redeem themselves with their latest one with the Chinese
laugh. I think they were drunk when they gave him
the prize. They
planted the vineyard. Yeah, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
I have a question. Why it's not okay? All the explanation, all the rabbis, Rashi, Rambam, very acceptable in one point. But on the other point is that it's well known that every generation God chose the one to continue to build and continue Judaism. In every generation God has a favorite one.
Yeah.
Cain and Hevel and so on and so on and so on. He has the Ishmael and Isaac and so on.
Yeah.
So it's very simple to understand that God chose Abraham on Noah. So this is why all the Zrakorim, very difficult. All the directions to favorite Abraham on Noah. And from this comes all the explanation.
So, I'll tell you. The Mefarshim, the commentators, the Torah itself identifies that Abraham becomes the founder, the ancestor of the Jewish people. That's God's choice, and you can try to explain in what merit did Abraham chosen, you know, by God. So the Mefarshim, the commentators, are really trying to study the Psukim to try to identify different nuances in the language and distinction between a Noach and an Abraham to find out what were those outstanding character traits that Abraham had that Noach did not have. And I think that's what they're doing. In other words, they're not, they're trying to, again, because the Torah doesn't say everything, the Torah kind of tells us exactly what happened, but we're trying to look a little bit beneath and find out what were those distinctions. One of the oddest things is we almost know nothing of Abraham's childhood. Everything's from Midrashim. I mean, the first time he comes on the scene explicitly, he's already, he's already on his way to, I think he's 70 at the time. So all of those are like different Midrashim that actually, give us a little bit more of the background. So even his upbringing, unless, is a little bit mysterious. So that's why the Mefarshim are really trying to search and identify what was it about Abraham. There's a well-known debate. What age was Abraham when he discovered God? According to one opinion, he was 3. According to another opinion, he was 40. And that's when his kind of journey began. And it began with, the Rambam says, a quest for trying to find truth. For trying to find, is there a God? People were saying it's, the famous story with the stars and the moon and who's really in control. And it was about a journey of exploration and discovery, really. Yeah.
Well, I think the first recollection I have is the time that he broke his father's idols.
Yeah.
And he told his father a story and how it happened.
Which I think also, there's so much to talk about here. That's the message of curiosity. Abraham was a questioner. He was a searcher, If you think about what the legacy of means to B'nai Abraham, it means not just to take the world around you and just, but it's to analyze and to try to understand. That's what Abraham was about. There's so many character traits, when you think about with Abraham, but he was a spiritual searcher, and that clearly, and by the way, this is also important, it wasn't that only that Abraham was chosen by God, it was Abraham, it wasn't only God choosing Abraham, it was Abraham choosing God and saying, this is, what I want. Abraham didn't have to, This is a path that was a partnership between the two.
It's a big discussion.
Big discussion.
Who chose first?
Exactly. I want to just point out one other thing to you guys before I let you go. Look here for a moment. Hold on. This is a beautiful.
We'll stay for Kiddush.
It's all here for you guys. Don't worry about it, okay? Hold on 1 second.
What was the program with Ishmael?
That's a whole other story. He's a para Adam. So here, I want you to look at page 66 for a moment. This kind of dovetails a little bit from what we were talking about before. And Rabbi Soloveitchik has a beautiful essay on this where, God says to Abraham, because Abraham's asking, it's great that I embody your message to the world, but I have no children. And he says to God, Vayomer Abraham, it's verse 3, chapter 15, Hein lin lo natata zara, v'hine ben beiti yoresh oti. In other words, what's going to be? Is it going to be Eliezer, who's going to be the one to inherit me? I have no children. How am I going to carry this legacy out? So then God says, v'hine devar Hashem elav l'mor lo yoreshcha zeh. This one will not inherit you. Ki'im asher yetzei mi'me'echa hu yoreshcha, one who will come out of you will inherit you. And then it says, what does God say to show Abraham that there really is the possibility that he will have a future? Vayotzeo tahachutza, verse 5, he brings him outside. Vayomer habetna shemaima, this is a beautiful image, just look up at the stars. Uspora kochavim, count them. Im tuchal isporotam, if you can. Vayomer lo, he says, ko yezarecha, so will be your seed.
18 million, less 6, only 12.
Correct, but this is the future.
This is the
future.
When?
When? We believe it will happen. We believe in Mashiach. That's right. Now, what was that?
But the Muslims are like the stars.
Well, this is part of the prophecy. This is part of the belief.
Like the
God is saying to Abraham,
they're also his descendants.
That's true, too.
The Arabs are also his descendants.
Yeah.
They made B'nai Ishmael. So,
right.
From this verse doesn't differentiate.
Not at this moment. That's true. But God actually says to him, or Hirsch points out, that what does it mean here? Take yourself outside. So Hirsch says that Abraham was saying, according to the natural course of events, according to how old I am, there's no way logically, like you're saying right now, for me to have this kind of children, or for me to have children at all. Rav Hirsch says, "Vayetzea ta'chutza," go outside the natural phenomenon or course of events, and understand the destiny of the Jew is not tied to the rational, right? Who was the one who said to be a Jew means, to be a realist means to be a dreamer, right? It's not tied to, you know, what you think, but rather it's going to be what we call lamala min hateva, which means beyond the natural course of events. And that's exactly what he's saying. Look up, and then he says, Ko yezarecha. Ko means so will be your seed. Rav Soloveitchik points out that the distinction between the Jew and the non-Jew is ko versus po. Listen carefully. Po is a word that's used right before the Akedah. When Avraham is going with, who does Avraham first take for Akedah Yitzchak? He takes, it's Avraham, Yitzchak, it's Eliezer is with him, and Yishmael. And they're all walking. And then there comes a point in time, it's beautiful, where he sees the mountain in the distance. It's, where is it? It's page 100. Okay? So he says to them, they're all going. Vayakam vayelech el makom asher amar lo Elokim. He goes to the place where God says to him, Vayom ha-shlishi. This is, it was the third day. Vayisa Avram enev. Avram lifts up his eyes, and he sees the place from afar. Vayomar Avram. Avram says to Na'arav, who are his people with him? It's Yishmael and it's Eliezer. Shvu lachem po im hachamor. You stay here with the donkey. Vani vanar nelcha ad ko. You see that word ko again. We have a different future. Here is where the two shall split. What was that?
You guys wait in the car.
We will go and return to you. So Rabbi Soloveitchik has a piece here about the distinction between, and the word chamor, by the way, is chumriot, which means from physical, from the material. And the world, the rest of the world is more earthy, more connected, more bound by natural circumstances. That's a po world. That's what he's saying. The Jew, though, and this is the same language, is ko. It's about a sense of that there is a possibility for something that may be rationally impossible, but with the help of God, it's the possibilities are, you know, are endless, or things that we never may be able to kind of realize.
Maybe ko kafe is also a sign for Hanukkah.
That was beautiful. I'm glad you brought him. Bring him back. Ko, it's perfect. Chanukah, that's exactly, oh, they all say this. It's very good. Ben Ami, very good. Ko is 25. It's related to Chanukah. But also Chanukah is the perfect holiday for that, because Chanukah is number 8. 7 is associated with the natural world, and 8 is always associated with Lamala Min Hateva, which is beyond the natural world. That's Brit Milah. 8 on the side is infinity. It's endless. You know that? There's a lot of ideas behind there.
This is the reason why 8 candles of Hanukkah.
That's exactly it. That's right. You know what the 25th word in the Torah is?
25th
word in the Torah. It's or. It's light. It's all there.
And the 25th place in Kim is Chashmona.
Chashmona. There you go. We're all coming together now. So anyway, so this idea of the Noach versus the Abraham existence is also alluded to when God gives Abraham the promise of Ko Yezarecha, and this idea that as a Jew, we have to have the confidence that God is, you know, walking with us. The truth is, we wouldn't be where we were not only if for God's beneficence and blessing, but if, as somebody once put it, the spiritual audacity of the Jew. You know, to still believe when everyone said there's no hope, there's no future, and to have the confidence. You know, the truth is that that's, I think, one of the challenges that we have today. We're so influenced by what the other world thinks of us in terms of, you know, whether it's our lack of connection to Israel, that we have to have a greater sense of belief within our own communities and within ourselves And not to be afraid to say, you know, whether it's returns to Jerusalem or different things that are important to us as a Jewish people, and not to be swayed by world opinion into thinking that we don't have certain, you know, rights, responsibilities, that ultimately by doing that, then God will see that we are worthy of being B'nai Avraham and not lose that sense of the vision of the future of the Jewish people. And then God will enable us, hopefully, to realize the ultimate vision that he has in mind for B'nai Avraham. So it's having that courage, not staying passive like Noach, but being a dynamic spiritual figure and always saying, Ve'ye Tamim, how can I move forward to try to help perfect the world? Yeah.
I have to ask you.